Time to have a guest here on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And you know, it's always fun when Annie Haslam comes to visit us here on the podcast because we learn all kinds of things and we never know what she's come to tell us.
It's always fun to hang with Annie. Great stories, great conversation. So here we go. Oh, wait, there she is.
Oh.
Hello, Annie.
What, the first time?
I was just getting ready to stop everything and start.
I've got all these weird things going in my house. Anyway, apart from that, how are you? Yeah, I think it's just time for me to shut up, actually. That's what that is. That's when you, my memory goes, shut up and talk about what you're here for, you know.
Dust and wines to the man who knew them. The sweat of days in the angry sun. And the men were weak and they cried and they asked, sisters, make us whole. Sisters prayed, give us hope for something. The men asked, where is your God today? And the empty eyes, as the sisters prayed, held the thoughts unspoken.
We're here to talk to you. It's always good to catch up. Hey, you know what I found since the last time we had you here on the podcast? No, you're going to like this. I found you and your brother Michael doing the duet Somewhere Out There. On the internet is where I found it. Somewhere out there.
I sent it to you.
Is that how I found
it? That's how you. Yeah, I sent it to you. Isn't it wonderful? We talked about it. And I said, oh, I'll send it to you.
But we didn't get a chance to share it with everybody here on the podcast. Tell us how you and your brother, who is an accomplished singer, we've talked about that before. How did you end up being together on this song so we can share it with the audience?
I had breast cancer. Earlier that year, I'd had my chemo and my radiation. The following January, I went over to England. I just needed to get away. I was married then to Mark Hoffman. In fact, I was thinking that the other day. If I hadn't met Mark, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you because, you know, I moved over to America to marry him and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, apart from that, interesting bit, but it's true fact. We take somebody out of our lives and everything changes. So I decided to go over to England. It was January, terrible time for rain and everything over there. I stayed with them and his wife, Eileen, that's Michael and Eileen, in a small flat, and it was pouring down with rain. I was feeling okay. It's feeling pretty good. It was good to get away. One day I said, can we do something rather than just sit and watch the telly and drink cups of tea, you know, and listen to the rain? And he said, yeah, why don't we do that? So he had this karaoke. They had karaoke tapes that he used to practice to, you know. And he had a bass amp and he had a Beyer microphone that I'd given him. And he brought out a videotape. And I said, what are you doing with that? He said, well, I'm going to record us on the videotape. I thought, really? I had no idea. He had this karaoke tape of Somewhere Out There. And we put it on and sang it. I sang it and it came out.
It really
out.
Did.
Amazing.
It really did.
It's amazing.
And even though I know how very far apart we are, it helps to think we might be wishing And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
I sent it to Tony Visconti, you know, my friend, you know, producer Tony Visconti. Then I sent it to him, and I think I sent it to him under the guise of a new artist, you know, listen to this kind of thing.
Well, I liked it too.
But yeah, we had a great time doing it. We had a wonderful time doing it. Every single time when his voice comes in after mine, it brings me to tears. Every single time I ever hear it, it's just a voice.
Classic, right?
It was a wonderful voice. It was a cross between Elvis and Roy Orbison. He could have been in stage musicals as well. That kind of voice that you really, my God, he really projected it. I guess I can do that to a certain extent, you know, but his voice was like, whoa, it was right out there, but it was different. The Elvis Presley of Bolton, they called him.
Ah, Bolton. We know it well, right, Marcus? Well, hey, once you've been scolded for selling Bolton Short by Annie, you never forget, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, before I forget, because we always get off on a tear whenever we have Annie Haslam on the podcast, you're getting out of the house and you're going to New Jersey, end of March on the 23rd, Saturday night. Rick Wakeman is doing what is essentially his final tour of solo dates, just him and the piano and what have you. And he's going to be there at Scottish Rite, which has great, amazing natural acoustics. And you're going to be there with him on Saturday the 23rd, right?
I'm going to be opening for him. When you said with him, I think people, a lot of fans are wishing and hoping that we're going to be performing together. It's always, you know, because it says with very special guest Annie Haslam, and some people just, it's what they want. It's what the fans want. Oh, look, you know, it should be a perfect match, but no, that's not going to happen. I'm going to be opening with two of my keyboard players, Rafe Tessar, who's been with me for many, many years, and Jeffrey Langley, who's been with us now since 2015. Where's the time going? We're going to do a few of my solo things as well, as well as a couple of Renaissance ones. And of course, it'd just be like playing with a quartet, because it's going to be all synthesizers, piano and synthesizers. So the songs will fit nicely with it, you know, so I'm looking forward to it.
Two great artists together, Saturday, March 23rd at the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey.
I never saw Rick with Yes, but I did see him at the Electric Factory. I went with Ed Sharkey. He was a great friend. Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's 20 years this week that we're recording since we lost him.
I put something up, put Mother Russia up for him, but... I never forget that one day we played at the, this is Renaissance, in the we played at the TLA in Philadelphia. You remember that? Sure. Is it still going?
Yeah.
It is. Instead of coming home, because I was local then, I think. I'm not sure. It's so long ago. Anyway, they said, you know, you can stay with us. And so what I did, their daughter, Monica, who's now an opera singer, every time I say it, I think, wow. It's all that music, I guess, you know, that she was pumped into her all the time, you know. I think Ed said, or Monica might have said, anyone want Annie to sleep with me? So I slept on the trundle bed, first time ever in my life, and the last, actually. I don't think I need a trundle bed, you know.
Right, they're uncomfortable, I get it.
I didn't know what the hell it was, you know. Trundle bed, what the hell is that? And then Ed came in because he used to read her bedtime stories. And he came in to read us a story. And Ed said, oh, my God, you know, that was a fabulous show. And everybody thinks you're going home to the, like, you know, this fabulous mansion or whatever. I nearly wet myself. It was one of the funniest things I think ever in my life. And Ed had that this infectious laugh, didn't he? Couldn't stop. It was so good for you to laugh, isn't it? It really makes you feel so great. So that was a wonderful memory. Was that the answer to your question? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
The show I saw with Ed, actually, the Electric Factory, was very funny. I mean, Rick's got an amazing sense of humour. It's a shame he's kind of retiring in a way, but we can't go on forever because it's too much on the mind and the body. But he's done way more touring than I have or Renaissance mm-hmm. has ever done. This is all on his shoulders whenever he does these, you know, solo performances. It's just all down to him.
Right.
Somebody in the business told me that he ordered an Indian meal from the stage, had it delivered and ate it during the show.
Hey, look, if you can make that work, you know, he's not a vocal guy.
I love curry as well, but I'll be farting all night.
Oh, my. Well, you know, the lower impact activities, like you do a lot of art, a lot of painting and stuff, come into play after you stop touring, because the rigors of that, aside from the Indian curry causing gas, can be, you know, a lot for anybody, let alone as we get older. So you've been part of things around these parts for a long time, back to your earliest days. And you made a lot of friends, including our mutual friend, a guy I really love, Larry Magid from Electric Factory Concerts and so much more. And you are part of the display of his Electric Factory life at Drexel, is it?
It was. I think it finished on the 31st of December, unless it was extended. I'm not sure. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was put in a case, you know, that you could see through and everything. It's called Leonardo da Vinci, and it's a Fender d'Acquisto that I painted. And this was, gosh, when was it, a few years ago now. And Larry bought it to go into his collection.
Did you get to go and visit that and see it all?
I saw it. I put it on my Facebook page. You can see it.
All right. Well, you can find it there. And the overall thing there, that was pretty cool to see so much of the stuff that he made happen, brought to life there on display.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's pause here and take a break for Crooked Eye and whatever else comes down the pike, and back with more of Annie Haslam next. Well, Marcus, the seasons are changing and the board is changing at Crooked Eye, because you know what happens. You always have your standards there on the left side. If you look at it on social media, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, their pictures lay it out very clearly for you what they've got. So
keep your eye on that, sure. But on the right side of the board, that's where the spring ales and the new stuff that Jeff's been working on starts coming out and making its way into your glass. Right there at the bar at Crooked Eye Brewery in the heart of Hapro, pouring the cure for over 10 years now, just celebrating their 10th anniversary. The party's still going on over there. You know that, man, right?
The party never stops at Crooked Eye, with live music, great entertainment, with just things happening at Crooked Eye, the great beers, the great drinks. It never stops.
And get that Salty Vets barbecue on select nights. You can find out about everything going on at Crooked Eye Brewery on their Facebook and other social media accounts. And thanks to them always for sponsoring us here on the podcast. Always a friend to be made when you make it Crooked Eye.
We are back, we are refreshed, and we are ready to talk some more with Annie Haslam.
I lived in England. But I remember going to the Electric Factory to see Joan Baez. And that was when, just before, my hair was, it was just before I was going to have my chemo and the operation and everything. I went to see Joan Baez. I'd cut my hair short, so I was ready for losing it, you know what I mean? And I went to see Joan Baez, and of course, that was so fantastic to see her, because I listened to Joan Baez when I first started singing. I got the songbook and everything. I sang along with her. I sounded just like her. actually. Before I went to my opera teacher, and that's when I found my own voice. But that was a great memory of Electric Factory, and I was backstage. I took some flowers, and she knew who I was.
Ooh, that must have been cool.
Oh, and that I was like in tears. My mind took me back to this bedsitter where I was sitting listening to her music. You know, oh, a starving artist. Actually, I was trying to be an artist then, but.
She would probably be on your list of five favorite women singers of the 1970s, because, you know, and probably the 60s too. We just did an episode about that. Who are your five favorites or your favorite other singers of the 70s, the women of the 70s?
Joan Baez, of course. Joni Mitchell.
We have that in common.
No, I'm not thinking in the prog world. Barbara Streisand, I used to love her voice.
Who doesn't?
I know there's a lot. Oh, Karen Carpenter. That's a voice from Go.
Highly underrated as a singer, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And a drummer. Don't forget how good of a drummer she was. She was a sick drummer.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky. Got the sun in my eyes and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
They came over to England, they went over to England, and they were asked who their favorite band was, and they said Renaissance.
So they loved you?
Yes.
Yeah, how about that?
Yes. Let me think of that. How many is that then?
Oh, that's a good four or five.
Three, four. I said Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez, Barbara Streisand.
Karen Carpenter, and I counted you.
Karen Carpenter, that's four. Yeah, Karen Carpenter's voice is just so gorgeous. Let me think here. Jesse Norman.
Tell us about Jesse Norman.
Jesse Norman is a black opera singer. And John Tout, when he came and stayed with me for a month. It was amazing. I hadn't seen him for years and years and years, and he just decided to come over, which was fabulous. So he stayed with me. We never stopped laughing. We were always like the two naughty ones in the band, you know. On days off, we'd go shopping together and silly things, and you know, the others are more serious. But he came over, and the first thing he gave me was this album. It's called The Four Songs. It's by Richard Strauss, and one of them was called September. And if anybody hasn't heard that, you have to listen to it. You can look it up on YouTube. Oh, my God. It's gone. My God. It just gets straight into your soul. It's a voice, but the song is just, oh, my gosh. It just gets in there, you know, it just gets in, right into your soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's five.
Thank you.
Four or five, as you say.
Well, we have our honorable mentions. We always stretch it when we do an episode with our five favorite things, Annie. So, well, thanks for contributing there. Hey, I really enjoy seeing your band anytime. But back, I guess it was in 22, you guys did that gig at the Keswick and you invited me. I want to thank you so much. It's an honor to be invited on stage and to introduce Renaissance anytime.
Right.
And that night, you guys recorded with the orchestra and an amazing CD that's out there, the Legacy Tour 2022. It's a double CD that just is so good. If you love Renaissance and you love Annie's work, you should check it out and then go get it, because that's how we support the arts these days, right? Supporting the artists directly.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get that on our website. That's renaissancetouring.com. That's where they can get that. But yeah, we've played at the Keswick many times, and to play with an orchestra, you know, it's there's 16 of us on stage. It's like a schoolyard. It's like I should remember the next time to take a bell to get them all to come, you know. Come here, you lot. Oh, we had so much fun with all of them. Brilliant, brilliant musicians. Actually, Joe Denison, who was the lead violin, is now with Kansas.
Wow.
And Tom Brislin, who was our keyboard player in 2009 when we started up again, he's with Kansas. And I went to see them at the Keswick June 9th last year, day after my birthday. And it was, oh my, I'd had I don't know how many gin and tonics. I don't usually do that, but I wasn't driving. And I'm sick. Don't look at me like that. And I was all over the place. I'm usually quite sedate in my seat, you know, but I was like dancing away. And Joe just joined the band for that tour. You know, I mean, he's in the band permanently, but he did several solos and he was getting standing ovations. It was like the place was
awesome, right?
Fire. Amazing. What a great band.
And, you know, they were part of an episode that we just did recently about albums turning 50 this year. Your band has an album that's reaching 50 this year.
Lost inside.
Of the Cards, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. Featuring one of my five favorite songs by Renaissance, Mother Russia. You gotta love that.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. I remember Mickey coming round to my house. Where was I? Living in St. John's Wood at the time with Miles Copeland. Stuart used to come and visit us when we were together, and he used to go in the basement and play a bass. No drums. He was playing bass. Yeah. Mickey came over with his guitar and he said, I've got a song here. It's called Mother Russia. So he played it on the guitar. And he said, well, we're going to be doing this here, this choral thing here. And, you know, because he could see it all finished in his mind, you know. And then I thought, like I always used to do, it's going to be too high for me. He says, shut up. You know, you're a trained by an opera singer. You've got five octaves. Shut up.
Hey, you guys were in the middle of a lot of things in those days, right there, 73, 4, 5 and all. How do you end up getting Hypnosis to do that really cool cover on Turn of the Cards?
The first one they did with us was Prologue. And then we did Ashes Are Burning. In fact, somebody sent me a photograph of Storm and Poe. Storm Thorgerson was the, and Poe, Aubrey Powell, were both the owners of Hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture I put on the Renaissance Facebook page. And it's, somebody sent it to me. And it shows them in this, that room with all the album covers, and they were like chatting to each other, and somebody took the picture, and on the floor is the cover of Ashes Are Burning. The photograph. Yeah, they did.
They were doing their homework.
Yeah, that was an easy one for them, though, really, wasn't it? Me and Terry, John and John. And Mickey was in the background writing the songs, you know, when that band reformed again. And then Mickey joined us for, it, you know, as a band when we realized that we're, electric guitar really wasn't correct for us, and Mickey came back in, and that was, you know, the rest is history. But yeah, Hypnosis, oh my God, well, I'll never forget that, because Storm had such a ridiculously amazing personality that he opened his mouth and he barely had to say anything because she started laughing because he just had that kind of face. So he was very, very funny, very, very good to be around, very, you know, very clever guy, great designer and everything. And yes, we did, let's see, we did Prologue, Ashes Burning, A Turn of the Cards. They did Scheherazade and other stories as well. But yeah, no, they were great. Yeah, great experience.
Earlier, we were talking a little bit about the supernatural, and you have recorded in studios all around the world. Have you ever had any supernatural experiences in the studio? And I was wondering, since you're in tune with that, anything ever happened to y'all?
There's a couple of things that I experienced. 98, around that 98, 99, I had a manager, a really nice guy called Rick Korn, and he was connected strongly with Carl Perkins. He managed Carl Perkins. And he's also looked after, was involved with John Edward, the psychic medium. I got to go down. In fact, it started off with John Edward was doing, was at the town hall in New York City. He apparently, my friend Phoebe Snow, apparently I heard that she was going to be going on stage with her band before he went on. Then all of a sudden I get a phone call 2 days before the show, which was sold out for John. And he said Phoebe couldn't do the show, so she had to cancel. And could I do it with my band? Because I had my solo band then, and I called Rave, I called everybody, but nobody was available. So I said, I'll come and do something on my own. I don't play anything, you know. So I sang a song called Summon the Angels, which I thought would be perfect for John.
All the birds on earth take flight, gather every child in sight. Take the day, embrace it well, summon the angels. Silent as the coolest night, floating on the ocean's tide. This could be eternal life, summon the angels.
And you could hear a pin drop in the place. It was fabulous. I was a little bit nervous, but I just sang the whole thing to, you know, get on with it, you know, and it fitted perfectly with what was going on. I went down on a trip to Jackson, Tennessee, with Rick. I went down there to record this song and another song called Beyond the Blue, which was on one of my albums. I got to meet Valda, who was Carl's wife. I went to the house. I saw the chair where Carl used to sit with the blanket behind him and his what we like, we call them Smarties in England, what the M&Ms on the table still there. And I saw blue suede shoes that he wrote on a piece of brown paper in a frame on the wall. And it was quite an amazing feeling, to be honest. And his wife was lovely. And then I got to meet the family and Debbie, who was so lovely, the daughter. She was a songwriter as well. They took me into his studio, which was at the back of the house, where he did his recording. And on the wall, again, another amazing experience, was this giant portrait of Elvis. It was the most beautiful picture. And Elvis gave it to Carl because he said, I've got no room for any more. Would you like this painting? So he had this gigantic, I mean, it was huge, almost life size. And you walked into this little studio and I felt like, oh my God, I feel like I'm being blessed. Because my brother Michael adored Elvis and so do I. I mean, but that was incredible. And then I recorded two of the sons. They recorded the backing track and they were there and one of them sang with me as well. The song Beyond the Blue has a story. It was that he passed away. He died and came back, Carl. He had a near-death experience, and when he came back, he told Debbie what he saw.
Beyond the blue, where dreams come true,
and that's Beyond the Blue, the song that I sang. So if anybody wants to listen to that, that's the song that he saw. Anyway, when I sang that down there, I felt he was in that room with me, in the booth with me. I felt it all around me. I felt him all around me. I never met him, but I just, what an amazing experience.
Right. I can tell by watching, we do this on Zoom, even though it's just audio, and I can see you recounting it in your head, like you're picturing it in your head.
And of course, it's all coming back to me now, remembering it.
Have you ever met Dolly Parton? Was she as much fun to be around as she seems to be?
So, the band Starcastle, Al Lewis was in the band, contacted me because they were going to be doing a Rosfest. They used to do it in that theater that was in the movie The Blob.
The Colonial?
Phoenixville, that's right. That's haunted. That theater's haunted, like flipping Nora. Anyway, so I get an email from this guy and he said, would you join us and sing a song with us at the Rosfest? I thought, oh yeah. So that's how I got to know Al. He turned out to be Dolly Parton's stage manager.
Oh.
Yeah. And so when we were rehearsing for this thing, I said, oh, I said, and he was telling me about Dolly and how wonderful she is. You know, on days off, she cooks all the food for all the crew members and everybody. She's such a, you know, lovely woman. And she's so kind and done millions of things for the planet, you know, and everything. And he was telling me about it. And I thought, oh, I've got to do a painting for her. And I said, what's her favorite color? And he said, lavender. And so I went home and then a couple of days without thinking, I wasn't on my mind. And I just started painting this Dolly's butterfly and I had it framed. And he got me tickets to go and see her at the Borgata. So anyway, so I was told that nobody's allowed backstage and we were the only two guests that were going to be there. Al took us for the first part of the show to meet her when she came out to go on stage. I've never done that because you usually don't do it because it puts your head in a different place if you're meeting right. People. My heart was fluttering like crazy. There was nobody there except me and Pinky at the side of the stage. Okay. It was amazing. Saw her coming and I felt like I was going to levitate or something because she was wearing all white and all I could see was just this shimmering angel figure walking towards me, this little figure. Oh my God. I brought tears to my eyes when she came out. The energy around her aura was phenomenal. And so she came straight to us. She said, hi there, you know, and she said, you would like a picture, you know, and she stands in the middle and we have some pictures. Never got the pictures. The camera lost the pictures, but whatever, it was the experience to have her hold me and my friend yep. Pinky, you know, one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life. And then I met all these different band members came up to me. And one of them particularly was Glenn Campbell's guitarist. Something, and he was a huge Renaissance fan. So really wonderful, wonderful people. The people backstage were all, it was like one big family. Everybody was just having a ball. Anyway, I thought, oh, the time's going by. She's not going to have time. I'm not going to be able to see her. She comes out. Who gave me this painting? She comes over to me and she said, oh my God. She said, nobody's ever done anything like this for me before. And then she was walking up the ramp. She looked back again and said, thank you, thank you. But it's hanging up on one of the walls in the
house. Awesome. Mission accomplished. What a story, right?
I do have some other news, exciting news actually, is there's going to be a new album.
What?
Yeah, can't tell you anymore, with some rare music on it. And it's going to be released on a really great label called Flatiron Recordings. Flatiron Recordings. So look out for that. I'll let you know.
Absolutely.
You know, I'll let you know when I got more details.
Sure,
on
you can come back, give them to us yourself nice. If you'd like, anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh? Yeah, it's going to be on vinyl as well as CD. Yeah, which is I'm really surprised about that. Well, I don't have a record player anymore, but it's very popular.
It has been incredible to see what's going on with vinyl production. We want to thank you for being our guest a few times now.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, no, thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Annie Haslam, our guest on the Imbalance History of Rock and Roll.
Thank you so much.
Always fun when Annie comes to visit us here on the Imbalanced History.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking to Annie. She's a blast, and what a voice still. Again, check out Renaissance, check out their music, and I'm always enjoying these conversations.
And she told us there's going to be a new Renaissance album. It's in the works. But between here and there, she'll be appearing at the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey, with the great Rick Wakeman on Saturday, March 23rd, an 8 p.m. show. You can find tickets online for sure. You don't want to miss it. Rick Wakeman and Annie Haslam together there in Jersey. Well, that's going to do it for this episode, partner. Good times, right?
Absolutely. Great times with Annie.
Drop us a line at imbalancehistory@gmail.com. Find us on the web anywhere you can, including our website, imbalancedhistory.com. Brought to you by Crooked Eye Brewery, a product of Dark Doc Media. This is the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.